Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast that gets people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks it all. So join me as I open up shop and have a waffle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. The podcast all about getting people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, and the music that have soundtracked their journey. So join me as we open up shop and have a waffle. Welcome to another episode of the Waffle Shop podcast. Today, I'm joined by an absolute legend, digital entrepreneur, businesswoman, dating expert, and digital pimp, Tina Wilson. Welcome to the Waffle Shop.
Thank you for having me. I'm like literally so happy that I have some human contact.
Anytime, literally. I'm pretty sure I don't even want this conversation to end already, because the chat we had before, like, my face is hurting, so I'm quite excited to see where this goes.
It's good. It feels good.
I'm excited, but there's a question that I've got to ask, right? So, as like, I get the kind of the finger point at me quite a lot, especially when it comes to like relationships and dating, right? That, you know, oh, you know, you're 30 now, like, you should settle down, you should find someone, you should do this, like, and it's difficult. It is really, really difficult in this kind of like day and age. Obviously, we're in a pandemic, but I wanted to get your advice on how to do that, because I've used the dating apps. I've slid into the DMs on Instagram, but I also am my own worst enemy when it comes to dating, because I like the idea of dating, but then when it gets to that like second, third date, I'm like, oh, I don't know now.
Yeah, I just don't really think that you're ready. And I say that with respect. Like, I feel like you would dating. Like, yeah. You would have fun dating. If you could be going out with a different person every few weeks and having drinks and keeping it super casual, you probably sound like you would enjoy that rather than trying to find the one and being like, or if you're saying after, why after date two or three, or maybe you just haven't met the right one. Is it, if it's kind of date two or three, are you just like, I'm over this, or you just can't be bothered?
I nitpick. So I will look for a fault in someone. And there's only ever been two girls that I've never found a fault with that I still to this day kind of regret the situation that happened, but obviously everything happens for a reason. But I've now, I'm in a situation where, especially like last summer, like I was kind of dating someone, you know, when we were allowed to go to, like, you know, we were allowed that little bit of freedom in summer. And this sounds really bad, but like before the date had even started, I had my doubts, but I thought, you know what, just go, give it a go. And then we were getting the train down to London just to have like a bit of a day out. And straight away I was like, no. So, and it's just like, I'm annoyed because I've wasted my own time. I've wasted their time. I've wasted quite a big chunk of money. And it's just like,
but you know what, how well did you know them before? Right. So as you were, before you went on a date with them, what was the up until then? Did you just like slide into the DMs and be like, we should do something next week? Putting you on the spot now.
Yeah, because this is going to sound really bad, and I don't know if they even listen to this show, right? But, right, so we started chatting around Christmas time, not the Christmas just gone, the Christmas before, and my mum got really poorly just before Christmas, so I kind of cut things off again. I was like, look, I'm really sorry, I can't give you what you need or want right now, like, this is where my attention needs to be. So yeah. There was... God, we had no contact from like January until my 30th birthday was in April. So we hadn't had any kind of contact at all in that period of time. And then on my birthday, like we had like a few little messages, and she messaged to say, I'll look at your doorstep. And at that point, obviously my heart was pounding. I was like, I said to my sister, I was like, there's something on the door. She was like, should I go? I was like, no, stay here. Like, we dropped to the floor. We were like, this sounds horrible. And I was raised by women. Like, I say this all the time, so apologies if this makes me sound like a dick. But yeah, so, you know, she'd gone to quite a lot of effort with like homemade cakes and this, that, and the other. And it was really, really sweet. A little bit odd, but it was really sweet. Like, the thought was there. But
very thoughtful.
Yeah, but then around July, because then I felt like I had to do something back, I arranged all this kind of, like, we went to climb the O2 Arena, and I thought, we went on a double date with like my friends, and I'd already said to them, said like, I'm not quite feeling this, that and the other, but then my friends were like, no, give it a go, you always do this, and I did, and it didn't end well.
She didn't want to go, did you? Like, it was for the wrong reason. And this person may have been... Do you know what? There's always... It's right person, wrong time. I truly believe going through process of... Like, you could meet the right person too early. You don't realise it. And then you could... right person, wrong time. Right? So you have to be ready for that person to come into your life.
Yeah.
If you're not ready, it's like, it's just not going to work. And it sounds really... There's no quick fix to it, but it's almost an acceptance of, you bless you, thinking, she went to so much effort, I'll give her a good day out, but this isn't charity with your dating life. And that sounds awful, but at the same time, had you...
Heart is pounding. I've never told anyone that.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm now the interviewer.
I'm sweating.
give me the headset. I need to come to the studio. No, but do you know what? It's that thing of... She had her side of the street. Maybe she was thinking, oh God, like, he's had a really tough time. She wanted to do something nice, gesture.
Yeah.
She didn't know how to do it. So she did that. But then it's almost that awkwardness, right? Which is like, oh, we should go on a date then. It's like those expectancies of you in life, when really your gut knew it wasn't it in there. And maybe, not saying this, and I think maybe she was like, oh God, I feel bad for him. I want to cheer him up. Like,
you
kind of both had like weird energies going into it.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's not going to work, right? Like, she's there thinking, oh, you know, give it a go. I mean, who knows? Maybe she was thinking, oh, I'll, you know, give him a happy time. Like, you know, he's had a rough time. Like, maybe she was being kind. I mean, maybe not. True. But it's that thing of like, you never truly know. And so I would say I prefer brutal honesty. And even though it's really tough, I think it's better to be kind of harsh but fair, in that someone, if they just cut you off or ghost you, I know people get really offended about this ghosting thing. I'm like, if I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to explain why. Right? It could be that you remind me of my brother. It could be that you've got smelly breath. Like, why should I have to come out and make myself awkward to tell you this? Like, yeah. I just don't want to do it. And so, yes, you've got this human rights to this, like wanting to know what someone's going on, but you don't have the right. And so for me, I think that's what's always been good about having my friends who would be like, oh, Tina, you sound like a psycho. Or, you know, like, you're like, oh yeah, reality check. Like sometimes when you're in that world, you can't always see the wood for the trees. So having someone that can kind of, that knows you pretty well, that's like, why are you doing this again? Right. Like,
yeah.
They watch your habits, right? You, and it's more generally, your behavior has more to do with you than them. Right. And that's not to take it away from that person, but it's like,
it's true.
You're probably like had a crappy time. You're trying to like, oh, get back into life and stuff, but really your just heart wasn't in it anyway. And so I feel like if you're trying to force it and make it happen, it's not going to happen. It's like people that go on these dating sites. I have friends in New York that give 3 hours a day to 4 or 5 different dating sites. They use it like a job, and they are like, got to find them, be efficient with my time, you know, loser and stuff. And they're on them for years. Right. And it truly is because they're kind of got all their own baggage from previous relationships and they're not really ready, but they don't know it. And so you kind of watch it objectively when it's not you, because I've been the craziest person ever. But when it's not you, you're able to just be like, hey, do you realize you're doing this? And for me, that was always the most helpful, right, with friendships and relationships. And again, your friends are kind of being like, come on, hey, you know, just, you always do this, but maybe you always do it because it's not the right one.
Yeah.
Right. Like you don't have to fit a square into a round or whatever that is. It's like, you just haven't met your one and you're 30. If I think, who was I? I'm trying to think, not 30, but if I was dating the same person I was when I was 25, God forbid I would end up with them, right? Like, it's like a whole different world now.
Yeah.
Like people generally don't get married as early. And I would probably say the people that are telling you to settle down and find someone probably are settled down.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if that's true or not, but it's thing of like,
absolutely.
When I went off to the US and created like a bit of a, it wasn't an eat, pray, love moment, but it was a bit like, oh, I have this passion, kind of feel like I've got this idea. Should I do it or not? And I've always been pretty risk averse, but I was like, no, like, I feel like I really, this could be something right with women. Yeah. I really feel like I should do it. And most of my friends who were married with kids or in relationships were like, you're mad. You've got a lovely life in London. Why would you take a risk? Why would you not? And what was interesting was initially I was a bit like, oh, that's not, you know, I didn't feel very supportive. But I learned it's like it kind of challenges their life, right? They look and they're like, well, if she's doing this, like get a bit of FOMO, right? So one of the reasons for having Wingman is that there is no FOMO, right? It's literally like they still get to be involved with you and stuff. That's and they're brilliant. Able to like weigh in. So I think for me, that was a big part of it, right? My married girlfriends literally used to try and set me up on dates with people that they fancied because they wanted to live vicariously through me. Like, oh, look at him. He looks like a sex god. I'm like, people, like, I'm not here for your like amusement. But at the same time, those moments break it up.
Has now become the pimp. Fair play. What a turn of events.
I know. I've turned it round. Turned it round now.
There's part of your story, and I know like we've had like a really good chat. There's a part of your story that I kind of want to touch upon. If obviously you're okay to talk about, but you had a pretty rough time of it yourself, if I'm being correct.
Oh my god, yes. Oh yes, I did.
No, I was looking at you then as if to say like this?
Someone's calling me. Oh bless you, like, is it okay? Oh my god, I would share anything about my experiences just because I feel like I have learned from other people sharing theirs. I remember when I first went into New York, there was a lady called Susie Crippen who was the founder of J Brand. And I was there kind of, oh, I don't really know what I'm doing and stuff. And she got up at this big awards ceremony where people were honoring her for all of her work that she'd done. And she was just like, gave this most excellent speech, banterous. She was ripping on herself, being like, I was 35 when I started J Brand. I was working in a coffee shop before that. Right. And so like her little voice saying, I was like, well, she did it, maybe I could do it, right? So I think you never know what kind of an honest or kind word would help to push someone through. And I actually messaged her on Instagram not so long ago, just being like, I hope you don't think I'm a weirdo, but I just want to say that you gave this speech 6 years ago in New York at this particular place, and it really resonated with me. And she was like, oh no, that's so nice that you said that. So for me, I think, yes, I did have a pretty crappy time of, I had a car accident, and I was in hospital for months. I had jackknifed under a lorry on the M25, which is like a, so I was trapped under there for a few hours, and I had all these like ambulances and firemen cutting me out. And then I was taken to hospital. I was in intensive care for a few weeks. They had to put, I broke my legs, my arms, my pelvis, feet, like it was like, and I was really cut up. So I had lots of like glass and lacerations and all lots of weirdness. And so it took me a long while. Like I was in hospital for a few months after that. I came around after 6 weeks being like, what happened? Yeah. And being like, where am I? Like what on earth happened? And it was just literally just this freak accident of this lorry just changed everything, right? Like literally from one day to the next, this was my plan, this was what I was doing.
Yeah,
it's pretty just thing. And then it was like, oh yeah, you can't walk for now, your arms are not working, your nerve damage and stuff. And you're like, what? Like how like. And so, and interestingly, I'd been to Thailand before that, and I'd kind of been trekking in all these weird places, and then it's like you come home and I'm like 10 miles away from my mum's, and I'm like, how did that happen? Right? Like it's just that moment in time. And so for me, yeah, I think I had, so it wasn't just the pain, the painful stuff for me was the rehabilitation and all of that stuff. But for me was, I had a lot of scarring and I had a lot of plastic surgeries for like 4 or 5 years after.
Yeah.
And so I had to wear all these weird bandages, and it was like very, very, it was like my whole world became that, right? It was just like, what appointment here, what appointment there. And everyone was like, oh, you'd be so lucky, you could have died. You're like, oh, I get it, but I just, it's not ideal. Like, you know, like there's always someone worse. But for me, it was definitely the mental stuff that got me. Like for me, after a few years of being a hermit, and just like, I'm just not going out, I don't need to drive, don't need to get on a plane, don't need to do any of that. It was like, it came to a point where I'm like, you probably need, like someone's a wingman or a friend was like, you need to get some therapy. Like you're basically like really like a recluse. You haven't been out of the house for months. And it took someone saying it. I was like, yeah, like you just don't realize, right? You have that moment where you're like, okay. So to hear it. And so I got treated for post-traumatic stress, which when I started having it, I kind of committed to doing, it's like years I was in therapy.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a, and again, if I'd known then what was ahead, I was just like, oh, I'll just go along and have a chat with this person. And I think at that stage, I got to the point where I was so sick of being scared of everything.
Yeah.
You know, no one wanted to go in a car with me. I was like a lunatic, like danger everywhere, this hypervigilance of like, this could happen, that could happen. Well, if I had a car crash, maybe a plane might crash on me. Like it became this, and in your own mind, the mind is so powerful. And so for me, it was the years after that, like that rehab, getting through all of that, all of those issues and all the things that pop up within that, right? It's like, oh, I never was crazy compulsive before. I didn't think I was. Why am I now got crazy
OCD?
Kind
of rips you, it rips you apart, doesn't it? Until, and like, well, you don't realize. Sure
you don't realize. And it's, I think when you have those lesser moments, it's like everything that's in you, you get that, it comes out, right? It like rises to the top and the crazy monster is going to be like, here I am, right? To like terrify you more. And so for me, it's like having gone through that, like having had the experience of being like terrified to get in a car, literally passing out on the roadside. I mean, how dramatic, how dramatic. I mean, I literally would be like, when I look back, I'm like, oh God. Like my mum's Irish, who would just be saying to me, you know, get on with it, off you go, have a cup of tea and you'll be fine. But it was real. Like there was not, like mentally how it affects your physical body. Like it was so bizarre. And so for me, I think having all of that therapy along with the experience of struggling with a lot of body image and, you know, not being able to control how your body looks and scarred in places that people are mean. Like, people were so mean to me. They were like, oh, that's disgusting. Oh, you look awful. What have you done? Like,
what?
Do people behave? These are people that you would see out, and you're just like, those moments just make you more aware, more self-aware, I think more empathic with other people, where you're just a bit like, you have no idea how, what your words effect have on others. You should really mind them. And so I think for me, that's why I'm always super open about stuff. Cause I'm like, do you know what? If there was one person that had had that crappy thing said to them, and they see someone years down the line saying, yeah, that happened to me and I'm fine now, and I felt like it was just the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
But actually, I was able to be really brave, take a big risk when I got to New York, and was just like, do you know what? I feel scared, but I'm going to do it anyway. And so that, even though it isn't the same as having a car accident, it's like that thing of like pushing past your fears, learning, knowing kind of inside that it will make you better. Like, you're going to
push past it. On this show, and it's something that I posted quite recently, but it's by opening up and having these kind of conversations and talking about your struggles and what you've been through, your experiences, it becomes other people's survival guides. And that, again, like we mentioned it before we started, and especially with what you've just said, you know, there might be people out there who had been through a similar thing, who struggles with scars, struggle with their self-confidence, hearing this now and being like, well, do you know what? You know, at that point, like, without kind of putting words into my mouth, like, you kind of thought, like, well, this is it now. This is what life is.
And you're literally it's stuck. You're stuck, aren't you? And so for me, I think I was in so many different groups. And again, this is social phobia. Like, I wouldn't go out. Like, if I was out, I was literally, oh, there's a fire next door. And it felt real. Like, I truly believed there was a fire going to start next door. Yeah. And I had to be like constantly on this hypervigilance mode. And it's exhausting. And I've had people I know that have had smaller traumas and stuff. And I'm like, I think you should probably get some therapy, like, because it's almost just changing the lens. Like, you are able to, it can be easily fixed. It's a bit of work, but if you are given, you know, a bit of expertise and someone's able to point out some things to you, you're like, oh, I'm doing that again. Right. They give you tools to cope. I feel like life has changed so much from probably the olden days, where it's like, you should have like a bit of a guide as to help to deal with some of this stuff. And so for me, I think I'm definitely, you know, body image, yes, that I think being a very perfectionistic person is good in some ways, and it helps you do your job, and you're really fastidious about doing stuff. And when something goes out of your control and you can't control it, it sends you into like complete craziness. And so, whether that is with your body image or whether it's eating or drinking or whatever, it's like, for me, it was like recognizing those triggers and being able to be like, ah, yeah, going to do that again. And so, again, having your team, your, you know, whether it's a therapist, whether it's your friends or people that know you really well, are kind of those ones that bring you a bit more down to earth, I think.
You are incredible. Literally, I could sit and listen to you talk all day. Seriously.
Oh my God, I love that. Right, we need a proper waffle. We need an off-site waffle. In-person waffle.
Exactly. As soon as I'm allowed to leave the house and go past the co-op, I'm there.
Please.
I have got one final question for you, and it's the most stupidest thing ever. But like, what are your thoughts on chat-up lines? Like, do you think they're a good thing or do you think they're a bad thing?
No, I think they're a good thing. I think I have admiration for someone who approaches you, right? It takes balls. So already, even if they come up and give you a cheesy line, no matter what they say, you have to tip your hat to say, good on you. Like, you've got a bit of gumption about you.
Yeah.
I'm for them. But I think the cheesy ones, like, you can do better, right? It's like saying, hey, on a dating app, right? Be a little bit more intriguing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if it, like, just like, hey, what's up? Really?
So I thought, like, if I'm going to, I want your brutally honest opinion. So this is one, I thought it was quite clever, but on the other hand, it's quite embarrassing. So when I went through this stage of like the dating apps, you know, thinking I was really funny, this, that, and the other, I would just send at that time what I thought was a picture, an emoji of a lime. And then if you'd get like a question mark back, or you're like, hi, like, what's that? I'd reply with that, oh, it's my chat up line. I thought it was funny, right? But then it turned out it wasn't a lime, it was a mango.
Oh.
So not only have I just embarrassed myself, like, I'm going red now just telling this story. But yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a bit too try hard. That's why, right? You've thought about it and been like, that would be funny. Like, that would, it's like in that moment, but how many did you send those to? It probably felt like it was just a bit. I feel like you just scattered that out to as many people as might respond. Would I be correct? Like, for me, I think I would. For me, it would be, it's like the haze, right? They're just looking for who's going to respond quicker to be like, oh, if they're interesting, the lime, I like that, right? If you looked at someone that maybe she was drinking a lime and soda or something, or yeah. I don't know, like some, I think letting someone know that you've read their bio and, or that you've looked at their photos is always a good thing. So it's not just like, hey, I've just sent this to 1,000 people, I'll see who responds. You're not that special. Whereas being like, oh my God, that background looks like Marbella. I love that place. I haven't been, like, how are you? Right. It's almost an acknowledgement of saying, hey,
it's the interest, isn't it? Showing the interest. Yeah.
Not stalker-like, that you're like, you know, narrating, do you live at number 7 down the road? Right, and they're going to think that you're such an utter weirdo. But the ability for them to be able to be like, oh, like, you'd reply to that, right? Normal people,
yeah,
you're not going to reply to just the lime, bless you though. It was the initial starter. I think it was too short. It was just the equivalent of a hey, and I think I'd be like, people.
I haven't used it since the embarrassment, so you'd be glad to know, but I just wanted to get your opinion.
Especially if it's
on
not
it.
Even you know, a lime, to... a mango.
It wasn't a lime, it was a mango. How embarrassing. I honestly want to thank you so much for joining me for a waffle, because you've blew me away. Like, my face is aching. Like, your story is incredible. Exactly. That's how you know it's been a good waffle, like, my face hurts.
Yeah, so, love that.
Yeah, and, you know.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. Literally, this is what I was about to say. Like, anytime you fancy coming for a waffle, and once we start opening up again, I need to take him for a walk. I need to take George for a walk. He just looks like something out of, like, a Disney film or something.
Does he look real? No. Like a gremlin.
Yeah. Gizmo. Gremlin.
Imagine you? Yeah, yeah, that's him. That's him. That's who he's based on. A little friend.
Oh,
friend in lockdown.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Huge thank you to my very special guest this week, the legendary Tina Wilson. Make sure you check out her socials and, of course, the Wingman app. There's still time to vote for us in the British Podcast Awards. And as always, I'll see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and even leave a review. It means the world to me. See you soon.